You're listening to the PD Zone, Two Peas in a Podcast, a podcast that highlights all the reasons why Florence, South Carolina is an amazing place to call home. I'm your host, Michael Parker, and along with my co-host, Doug Summerford, we'll strive to bring you interviews and reviews of the best businesses and happenings all around the PD. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everybody, it's Michael with Two Peas in a Podcast, and we are super excited today to bring you Mr. Brian Braddock, the Executive Director of the House of Hope here in Florence and the Republican candidate for mayor. So this is a VIP guest, and we're really lucky and thrilled to death to have him. Brian, welcome to Two Peas in a Podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I know it's a challenge with everything you've got going on and with the virus and all the protocols to be here, and we sure do appreciate it. So everybody, we're going to have a conversation with Brian today about a lot of things. We hope that you tune in and stay all the way to the end. We're going to talk about Brian's vision for Florence. We're going to talk about a little bit about his House of Hope and, you know, just give everybody a good introduction to our, hopefully our new Republican mayor here in Florence. So Doug.
Absolutely. Brian, welcome again. We're so glad to have you, and we've been talking a little bit before now and have discussed a few things about you, and I'm sure that our audience will be very interested in hearing all about your plans, what you're thinking about doing, just exactly who Brian Braddock is. So I'd ask you this question right now. What kind of life experiences in a 10,000 word or less thing, what type of life experiences do you bring to the table that qualifies you? Now, we all know that you're the executive director of House of Hope. And but what else? I mean, why vote for you as mayor?
Well, it is because of life experience that I decided to run for mayor. I come from a faith perspective, and this all started with God putting two things. One, an awareness of all the things that he had brought me through in my experiences in terms of, you know, I'm a recovering addict. I'm a business owner, a previous business owner. I've helped the homeless. I've helped other people in addiction. And I'm a lifetime resident of Florence and Florentine. And I see things from a very broad perspective. I've been at the lowest of low personally, and then I've had situations where I've been in positions of leadership and everywhere in between. And so as I looked at the potential of the mayor's spot opening up, God really laid a burden on my heart. I would say prematurely. I didn't understand it at the time. I started thinking about this last September, October, and it was that, you know, Brian, I can use you to affect all of Florence, because I've owned a real estate company. I've owned business, but you know, I've worked with the homeless and I work with the city, and on any given day, I can be talking with a millionaire about making a contribution to the House of Hope, or a homeless person, you know, wanting to know what their next step is. Sometimes that can be in the same 15 minutes. Right. And what I get to do through the House of Hope and as the executive director in my role is connect those two. And I've done it, and I've seen it, and I've seen the life change. And so really in my almost 7 years experience of the House of Hope, it's been like a micro cosm of a city where we have thrift stores and businesses that fund our organization. And we have individuals, you know, that help us. Churches, we work with churches. We work with civic groups, Kiwanis, Rotary. We work with the city. We work with other nonprofits. And every day on a micro scale, I get to actively participate in seeing how our community works and moving people from the lowest state to a place where they have helping them get a job and helping them get a home and independence. And so people quite often ask me the same thing, Doug. They say, Brian, what about your experience? You haven't been on city council. You haven't, you know, you haven't worked in any kind of political arena.
Let me interrupt you right there. here's what I see about you, okay? We've got a lot of politicians running for office, okay? They're politicians. They want to be in it for whatever reason, you know? You have a servant's heart. You absolutely have proven yourself not to say, I want this position because of prestige. You know, you don't need another thing on your plate. I mean, you're busy enough.
Yeah.
You know,
I got four daughters at home.
Right. We won't even talk about that. Okay. Right. But you have a servant's heart. And I know, I mean, I've worked with House of Hope. I've cooked meals and brought it there. I've manned the showers, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. And another realtor friend of ours, Andrea Butler, she's very involved in House of Hope. But I see that you have a servant's heart. And that, my friend, is all the experience that I need to see. You know, everything else will come. But you've got a servant's heart. And I know that. And you folks listening out there, you know, if you don't know Brian Braddock, just absolutely pick up the phone and give him a call. I mean, the man's humble. The man's there. He's a real person. And so, you know, I absolutely appreciate that. A follow-up question then, because you are the executive director, are you going to stay the executive director of House of Hope and then be mayor of Florence also?
Yeah, absolutely. Every mayor that I can remember has been duly employed, you know, right. I don't know if employed is the right word, but they've maintained a career, you know, mm-hmm. and been mayor. The way our city is set up is the city is run by the city manager. Mm-hmm. And so the mayor is the PR person is the one connected to the community. And it's a policy. It's a policy role.
Which you already are connected with the community.
Right, already connected to the community. So as Mayor Wakila has continued to be, you know, a lawyer, as Frank Willis, you know, ran his construction business, as Rocky Pierce continued to be a businessman while he was mayor, I will continue to be the executive director of the House of Hope as mayor. I would just, instead of having, you know, a business and being mayor, I'll just be able to continue to serve the community in two capacities.
The only thing you're doing is just taking on a new title, but you're going to be doing the same stuff as you're doing right now, and that's serving the people and serving the people of Florence. And your qualifications, you know, like you said a little while ago, that you could go from talking to a person in need of help, to need food, need a shower or whatever, and then you could also go and talk to a millionaire, a multimillionaire, about donating, and you can be on their level no matter what it is.
Yeah, I have to be able to connect to people, you know, on all different levels. And my experience is practical. A lot of people don't understand about the House of Hope that we have 40 plus employees. We've had as many as mid 50s. We operate a thrift store business in the city, a retail operation in the city that has had sales upward to $1 million. This employed, you know, 20 to 30 people at any given time, you know, so I've got that practical experience of running a business, but then taking those profits to support, you know, those in need. And we've gone over the last 7 years from working with 200 to 300 people annually to over 1200 people annually through expanding our services. So it's practical, you know, in the trenches, and I have to connect with people throughout our community in all different levels, right, economically, so, spiritually, you know.
No doubt you folks do a fantastic job. And tell me just really quick about the homeless village coming that you guys are involved in. That's just fantastic. I was so excited when I first saw that. I know it's moving along. Tell me where we are with that project.
Yeah, so you bring a smile on my face just to mention it. One of the things in serving the homeless is to provide dignity.
Right.
Dignity and hope are such an important piece, you know, of the fabric of rehabilitating a life, you know, and helping someone. And so, you know, with that, with the shelters, if you go to our shelter on Church Street, if you walk in, our facility, I would compare it to, you know, the hotels in Florence. It is very nice, and we try to keep it nice because we want to communicate. When you walk in the doors, we want to communicate to you that we want the best for you, and you do that by your facilities. Well, these tiny houses are an extension of that, where we've tried to help homeless people in a communal environment, and especially with women and children. There's such crossover parenting, and there's things that come into play that you wouldn't have in a home scenario. Plus, you're not in a home. Right. So we're going to look to build 24 tiny homes that, you know, an 8, 9, 10-year-old gets off of the bus and they tell their friends, I live there.
Right.
Gated community, right. You know, fenced in, yeah. You know, everybody I talk to wants a tiny house. And it's going to be nice and secure. And it's going to give that dignity. It's going to give privacy. It's going to meet those basic needs of safety and security. And but it's also going to be that first step to the next step.
Right.
And then the next step. And that's what we want it to be. We want to say, here, you're in a home. Now you're not homeless.
Right.
And let's expand upon that with job training and with case management and with helping them to develop, you know, all the get everything put back together again to make those next steps in life.
And I think that's great, because what you're doing is you do give handouts, but you're giving a hand up too. And that needs to be, you can always give handouts. If all you're going to give is handouts, then you're just going to have the same people coming to you all the time. You give a hand up, you know, you're teaching them how to fish.
Right. You know, we want to take someone from homeless to a home.
Yeah.
We want to move people through the process of life recovery.
Right, right. Well, I know you folks can hear the man's heart. Just listen to what we just talked about. I want to switch gears a little bit. We talked about a lot of stuff. I wish we had been recording before we started recording, because we've been here, folks, for about 30 minutes before we started recording. But what's your vision for Florence? I mean, we've got a lot of opportunity here in Florence. We've got a lot of business as usual here in Florence. I've been a lifelong resident of Florence. I did leave for a good while and thought I'd never be back, but kind of reflected on that time. Sorry I did, but Florence has a lot to offer, but there's also still a lot of business as usual. Downtown's great. I've seen every iteration of the revitalization of downtown. I've seen everyone fail every time. So far, so good down there, but I think we need to take that same focus and spread that out in other parts of the city. So, Brian, talk to us a little bit about your vision for the whole of the city, not just a few blocks.
Well, you that word, whole of the city. So my vision for the city of Florence is that there would be consistency and opportunity throughout Florence to everyone. You know, the energy and focus that's happened downtown is just lets us know really what truly is possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, to go from where we were 10, 15 years ago to where we are now, is amazing. And I love downtown, but what about around town?
Right.
You know, we don't have 10 to 15 years to continue to focus there at the expense of other areas of our town. And that's what I have seen has happened. You look at what's happened in downtown, you know, the four block area, but then look at Five Points that used to be thriving. And then, you know, we got vacant buildings on corners of Five Points. Points of Florence used to be a big deal. Right. Look at Kmart, you know, vacant, the old Snappy car wash vacant. On Evans Street, you come in off of the David McLeod Boulevard corridor, and then you come down to Evans Street and you see empty lot, empty lot, empty building, empty mm-hmm. business. And you got to drive through all that to get to downtown. So my goal is to take all that energy and expand it out and be consistent with how we do business with people.
Right.
We have done a lot to incentivize people to come downtown. And I know there's some grants and TIF money and things like that. But we need to be consistent when people want to do business elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And we need to be open to help and open to help people thrive. And it's got to be broad. We can't be narrowly focused. We can be for a time, But after we've gotten that nucleus of downtown built, we've got to spread it out. It's got to pervade all the communities.
Absolutely. We, you know, and I'm, you know, like I said, I've seen everything that's been tried down there is over the years for whatever reason. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that things haven't happened. But, you know, one of the things we talked about also is people just don't feel safe downtown at all mm-hmm. times, that we're trying to draw people down, but they don't feel safe. So I know that that'll probably be one of your focuses as well.
Well, one of my platform topics, it was crime in the area, and crime in the area is just a bad talking point. So I'm going to change that to community security, right. You know, because nobody wants to talk about crime. We'll talk about community security. And in all, over the last 10 years, in all areas, when you're talking about personal property and rape and murder and all areas of crime, we've seen an increase, and we are higher than other areas in the state. And we're short officers. That's one issue, you know, and our officers do a great job, and our leadership in the police force does a great job. Chief Heidler, you know, I respect him and I appreciate him. And absolutely, especially in these last situations, you know, with some of the situations that we've had, he's just shown some great leadership. But we've got to have practical solutions to security. And at your home, you know, if you want to make your home safe, what are a couple of things that you do? Lights and a camera.
Absolutely.
Yep. Lights and a camera, right? I mean, anyone who wants to make their home safe, they put a camera on the door, and they put a camera, you know, where the cars are, and they put lighting. Well, our lighting in Florence is absolutely horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. If you drive through any neighborhood, you know, we got old lighting in, and there's dark spots between, you know, all these areas. If we focused on lighting, studies have shown that you'll see a 30 to 40% drop in crime with lighting.
Right.
It also reduces accidents, mm-hmm. you know, it also reduces the situations where people are, you know, jogging or something like that, you know, and not seen. Right. So there's so many positives to lighting. And that's one of the big, and there's grants to do it. And then it reduces costs on the city with electricity and things like that. So that's a simple thing, cleaning up these neighborhoods and putting cameras up in places. Like, you have neighborhood crime is just rampant. And I think what fuels that is the opioid addiction, drug addiction, you know, which I'm personally have been affected by and seen. I don't know one person. If you're in a room of 100 people and you say, has anyone in this room been affected by drug addiction? But I mean, almost every single
absolutely.
One.
Yeah.
But so you got neighborhoods that have one point of entry, one point of exit. So just put a camera there, you know, right there. And then you see the people coming and going. And if people know that they're on camera, and if an area is lit where they know that their activity is going to be seen, then they're least likely to do it. And those are just a few things downtown we need. We need more lighting. People need to feel safe and comfortable to do business in Florence.
Absolutely, 100%. So, you guys, there's a vision there. I can't say enough. You know, we've talked a lot about a lot of things, but we also talked about the stagnation here in Florence as well. And hard to put your finger on exactly what's going on, mm-hmm. but, you know, I've seen the statistics. Florence has not grown in population over the past, 10 years?
10 years. I mean, almost flat at 37,000, give or take.
That's unbelievable. And, you know, there's got to be a reason why. There needs to probably be a deep dive, a lot deeper than we could do right here. But, you know, guys, if we're not growing, we're going backwards. Everybody around us is growing. Look at Columbia. Look at Greenville. Look at the coast. What do you think, Brian? What can we do to reverse that?
You know, we got to ask ourselves, we're at the junction of two major interstates. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got two major hospital systems. I'm going to even say three now with Hope Health. Hope Health is becoming a major hospital system. Kudos to Carl Humphreys and his staff for doing that. So why isn't Florence growing? Part of that is annexation. For whatever reasons, the state puts a lot of parameters on cities being able to annex. And so that's a difficult process. So, but that's just one piece. People are moving out of the city. Mm-hmm. And so as we have new developments and new growth, there's still people leaving the city, and they're leaving the county as well. You know, we didn't talk about the county, but county numbers are going down as well. Mm-hmm. And the main reason I feel for that is opportunity. Where are the job opportunities in manufacturing and in IT and support and like jobs like assurance and like what we had at Blue Cross Blue Shield?
Right.
We need job opportunities where you can make $30,000 to $50,000 a year in Florence, and they simply aren't there, and they haven't been there. And why they're not coming here is something that we got to figure out as a community.
Exactly. I 100% agree. And it's, like I said, I left, I came back. I'm excited about what I see, but just the potential that I feel like we're missing. We need new vision, folks. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got it right here. We need to get out and vote, people. If you're happy with the way things are, stay home. If you want things to be better, if you want your life to be better, the lives of your family, your kids, get out and vote and take a neighbor with you.
Right.
You know, don't sit on your hiney.
Well, voting, like the local, we have seen this in the last 6 months, probably more than we've seen it in the last 6 years, is the impact of local government on your life.
Right.
Yeah.
On your life. Decisions that mayors have made, you know, to fine someone $500 for attending church in a car in a parking lot, you know, to shutting down, you know, businesses, to restricting things, have happened at the city council and in the mayor's level. And people worry about the national election, and there's a lot of implications nationally.
Right.
But what about your city elections? You know, exactly. where your planning comes into focus, where you know your ordinances come into right. focus. You know, in the phrase sanctuary, what cities?
Right.
You know, so
right.
it starts in the cities. Yeah. These things that we right. hear on the news yeah. start in the cities. And whatever you believe, you need to vote. The apathy that's taking place in our local elections has been a huge detriment to our cities in this whole country.
Absolutely. And particularly here, I mean, we have had a one-party system in the city of Florence forever. Folks, get out and vote. You get yourselves in your living room and watching the nightly news, and you get all ticked off about what you see in the nation. How about what happens in your own city? How right. about the traffic? How about the crime? How about the blight? I mean,
the potholes, the flooding, you know,
go do something yeah. about it. You can go vote and change what yeah. needs to be changed, but you've got to get off your couch. You got to get involved.
And of course, Brian, you're facing something that I think every mayor has faced. You're facing a politics way above the local level that's affected Florence County. You know, you've had a war between our state senator and the governor, Nikki Haley. You know, you've had that situation. That's why a lot of jobs probably went upstate and went to Charleston and everything else. Do you see this governor more in favor of the PD that maybe can work something out there? Or?
Well, I think it's the governor and businesses and everyone. We've had a dysfunctional relationship between city council and county council. We've had a dysfunctional relationship between city council and our school board
yeah,
and our school superintendent. And until we can get along, until city council and county council can get along and decide, you know, what's best to do with this penny tax, you know, to get our roads and our infrastructure worked out, until when big companies, Senator Leatherman and Nikki Haley and Governor McMaster, they have a role. But when a company looks at Florence and they look at where we are educationally, And they look at, you know, how we work together and how we don't work together, that's where they make their decisions. So as mayor, I will work with our local school board and our local school. There's nothing as mayor that I can impose, but we can coalesce.
Right.
I will work with county council. We can coalesce to what's best for all of us.
Right.
I know we're probably getting close to Michael wanting to wrap this thing up.
I think that was about 10 minutes ago.
But I would ask you this question. What can we do to help you?
The biggest thing that that I feel like any individual can do is to let people know that these issues are important and you need to get involved in your local community. If you care about your city, if you care about where your children are going to grow up, you know, or where they're going to come back to visit you, then you need to get involved. And we need to quit focusing on what separates us. You know, we need to quit focusing on whether we're going to build a wall or not build a wall, or whether, you know, this Supreme Court justice or that one or whatnot. We need to focus on local issues and we need to come together. So I would say just to get people to come together for our community, yeah, and spreading this word to get involved, you know, get involved.
But specifically, what, how about you? I mean, what help do you need from people to become mayor?
Their vote.
So
specifically, right, go to BraddockForMayor.com. You can look at, you can look at my campaign, what's important to me. You can look on Facebook, and I got Braddock for Mayor Facebook page. Go on there. I am the Republican candidate for mayor. But you will see that as a Republican, I hold some strong conservative views, but every single day I work to help people socially. So I work with all populations every day. Get out and vote. Bring your friends out to vote. This election has some long-term implications, and we need to be involved.
I think you're the only candidate that can cross lines very easily because you do it every day.
Right.
So thank you for coming.
I agree. Folks, again, I'm sitting in the room with the man. You can see his heart. You can hear it. Doug's looking at his heart. Get involved, people. Go vote. I can't stress it enough. Get involved. You know, turn off the television. Get out in your community. Take a friend. This election is going to affect more than you think it's going to. Register if you're not registered, but please go vote. And I can't tell you who to vote for, Brian Braddock, but please go vote. You know, if you're not going to vote, you don't really have, you can't get upset about what happens because you didn't voice your opinion. And we voice our opinion in this country and this state and city at the ballot box. So please, Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's been great.
We're going to have Brian's links up on the website here in just a little while. Please share this podcast. It's hugely important to the future of this city. We thank you all for listening, and we will be back with another guest in another week or so. Thanks, folks. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed today's guests. If you have any show ideas or any guests you'd like to hear from, you can contact us at 2PsMedia@yahoo.com. Thank you again for listening. Until next time.